The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
My first guest this morning, you might have seen in the papers during the week, on Thursday in fact, when it said, coast to coast, he swam the most, a Galway man, first to make it the whole way round Ireland. Well, I am claiming that Galway man as a southeast man because that's how I know him. Waterford's Darren Morgan joins me to talk about his amazing feat that he finished up this week. Hiya, Dara.
Hi, Orla. How are things?
Very good, thank you. You're going to have to explain the southeast connection, and it's a big southeast connection.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Dunmore East, and I would have been a beach lifeguard on Clonay Strand and Dunmore East Beach, where I was a head lifeguard in my last year there. So I kind of all my formative years was in Waterford. So went to school in De La Salle, would have played for Bohemians in soccer, and then would have boxed for St. Paul's Boxing Club. So I was kind of integrated into the community there in Waterford.
There you
and
go.
Yeah, just
and what
great,
brought you,
great people and great coast.
And what brought you to Galway then?
So I finished college, and it was just by chance. I was looking around at, I didn't really want to stay in Dublin. Now I did my college in Dublin, so I kind of wanted to go somewhere else. And I lived on the east and kind of the southeast coast, so I said, why not go to the west coast? I've never been there before, so it was a decision that it was absolutely fantastic, because if I didn't do that, I wouldn't been able to realise my dream, which was to swim around the country.
And you have realised that dream this week.
Yes, yeah. It's pretty surreal to even talk about it now, you know, because I've planned it for so long, 6-7 years, trained so hard, it's fallen through so many times, logistically, everything, it just felt like this is just never going to happen, and it just seemed way too far out of reach. But this year, it just, things came together, and I knew myself, I just had to go for it, and I had to just get in the water that first day, and that's what I did.
So you're 27 now, so you've been planning for this since you were 20, so you're a fairly determined person.
Yeah, you could say that, or stubborn, I'm not sure.
Why swimming around Ireland? Why is that something that grabbed a hold of you?
It's hard to put a specific kind of, but I one of my friends who would have been very adventurous, and at the time I was kind of going down this kind of singular path with work, and kind of down maybe a path that is fine, but it probably wasn't aligned to my own values.
Okay.
And I met someone who was living to their values, and you could see exactly what they wanted to do and what they were doing and why they were doing it. So I thought to myself, like, okay, this guy is living his dream. What is my dream? And I had to sit deeply with it. And like, I loved sea swimming, I loved adventuring around Ireland, and this came to me, and I kind of hoped it would kind of just leave. I was a flash in the pan, but it just kept coming back. And out of respect to the magnitude of it, I knew that I had to push my mind, my body and my soul through a gauntlet of challenges.
I can imagine.
And that's when I started to do the big challenges that I've done throughout Ireland, and my training regime was so meticulous and so regimented for the past 5-6 years.
Wow.
And to be honest, it was all geared towards this.
And are you working in the meantime, like trying to have a job at the same time?
Yeah, working full time. I was working full time for Innocent Drinks, so I had to manage that on the alongside everything else. But
wow.
It's
kind of hard to get it into my head how you did all that, because can we just give like the stats? Like, we are talking, how many thousand kilometers are we talking?
We're talking 1,468 kilometers completed.
Okay, so 1,468 kilometers. That is around the circumference of Ireland. You were swimming about 15 to 17 kilometers a day. And you were 6 hours in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a bit of a cold because of it, it sounds like.
I do. Sorry, I have a bit of a cold.
Grand. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I would have a cold too if I spent 5 months in the water.
You know, it's interesting. You know, And it was amazing that I haven't got sick the whole time.
Wow.
During this, you know, and I think it's just within, you know, when you're telling yourself you can't get sick, you know, this is such a big thing. So I kind of relaxed. I finished on Monday. So
the body is
kind of saying, OK, now we can get sick.
Of course.
Maybe that might be it. Yeah.
So tell us a few of these things. Like, how far out in the water are you? Like, were people able to see you from the shore when you were doing the swim?
And it depended on the days, the swell, the local kind of geography of the land. So say, for example, we were swimming through islands in Connemara because we had to kind of hide from the weather almost. There was big swell and we couldn't go out deep into the sea. But then when the days are calm, for example, in Donegal, we could have been 2-3 miles off the coast.
All right, so still fairly Donegal, far off, though.
Yeah, we'd be not too far off. We'd always try and hug the coast as much as possible. The only time that we were really far was crossing Donegal Bay, which is probably the hardest bay crossing, I would think, in Europe. Definitely, because it's a stretch of coastline that you're just exposed.
Okay.
You're out 40 miles at sea at any time. So.
And there's someone with you all the time, of course.
Yeah, and that's a point I had this for 6 years and it just kept falling through. And the only way it happened was because I was a member of a club in Galway called Bodori an Clada, which restores and maintains Galway hooker boats. And Peter Connolly is the founder of that. And I pitched the idea to him. They have a Galway hooker boat called the Nave Cronon, and I thought it would be the ideal support boat, and thankfully they thought so too.
Oh, brilliant.
And as an added bonus, the boat captain, Dara Bailey, came from a lineage of maritime culture. His dad was one of the last men to use Galway hooker for their intended purpose, was transport of turf and materials. So, you know, his experience, he could read the sea like no other, and he planned everything. Yeah, he planned everything on this journey.
Amazing.
So it was fantastic.
You've been through 3 seasons in the water as well, summer, autumn, and now we're kind of into winter. Was there a particularly tough month? Was there a particularly lovely time even?
September was tough. And actually the most challenging stretch of the coast was actually the Waterford coastline, believe it or not. I'm sorry to say, but yeah, it was, and I was excited for my homecoming, but we got absolutely destroyed with weather. And then I had very bad chafing on my arms. I literally had 2 holes under my arms. So from the chafing and the wetsuit, so that was something to manage. And then new variants of jellyfish then started to come from the Mediterranean.
I never even thought of that. And did you get stung?
Dara. I would have got stung.
I would have stopped it there. And did you end? You started in Galway and ended in Galway, obviously.
Yes, started in Galway, ended in Galway. Yeah.
And we're done now. Your dream is done.
We're done.
You've raised €27,000 for your chosen charities. What are those charities? The Orne Eli is one of them, is it?
The Orne Eli and the Simon Community, yeah.
Lovely. So I hate to even ask you this, but whenever anyone does a feat, I always say, what's next?
It's to sit with it and to distill it into writing. You know, I had great grandiose plans to, you know, every day after my swim to write about what I was thinking and all this stuff, but that's just not the reality. You're just so singular focused. So really what I want to do is to give it the respect it deserves, just to write and hopefully write a book on the experience and everything that I've done before that kind of led me up to this, and hopefully people will take some bit of inspiration from it. It would really be a love letter almost to Ireland, to the sea, because they're amalgamated in itself, and without my love for Ireland, I don't think I would have been able to do this monumentous and historic event.
Brilliant.
And with the help of Dara Bailey, who is, you know, fluent Irish speaker, comes from a lineage of amazing maritime history, I wouldn't have been able to do
amazing.
This. You know?
Just amazing. And back to work then as well, I presume, or just back to normality in a way?
back to normality is and just to kind of plan out a few things and just relax.
People can see what you were up to on your Instagram, can't they, if they want to search for you there? Are people able to see it? It's Dara Morgan 98, and it's Dara with the GH, and you'll see some of his journey. He did journal a lot of it there on video and in photos as well, and it just looks phenomenal. As you scroll through it, you can actually see the seasons change. So fair play to you.
A lot of
kilometres in there, over 1,500, and a lot of money raised for charity, and your great dream realised, Dara. That is Dara Morgan, originally from County Waterford. He has become the first man to swim around Ireland, and it's so lovely to talk to you again this morning, Dara. Best of luck in the future, and well done with everything.
Thank you very much, Orla.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Across the southeast, you are listening to The Sunday Grill here on Beat. And in a couple of years' time, we're going to be celebrating quite an important 30th anniversary. And that is the anniversary of Saving Private Ryan being filmed in County Wexford. John Michael Murphy is from Real Reviews, and he has some plans for that anniversary. You're very welcome, John Michael.
Good morning, Orla. Thanks for having us.
Lovely to talk to you this morning. Before we start on your plans, what does Saving Private Ryan mean for you? Were you even alive when it was being filmed in Curraghlow?
I was 15 years of age, and I was working with the Marine Department with the land and crafts and everything like that. Now, I shouldn't have been, but I managed to get in there.
So are you from the area?
Yes, I'm from Wexford Town. Where the land and crafts were actually based overnight was about 3 minutes walk from my front door.
Okay. And how did you approach them? How did this all work for you?
No. So originally, my dad was hired as a safety boat driver.
Okay.
And then as things went on, then we needed, every safety boat needed a crew member. So make it easy, my dad brought me along, and then it was kind of like, right, you work for the Marine Department today, can you help with the landing crafts, or can you help with making sure every crew member has life jackets on, that need to have life jackets on when they're going to float?
And did you meet many of them? You know, let's think about who, like, there was Tom Hanks, of course, there was a huge amount of stars in it. Matt Damon was in it, isn't that right?
So Matt Damon wasn't actually as Curraghlow.
Okay.
Spielberg did a very clever thing to build the animosity between the characters. He kept them away from all that. So there was a psychological thing. But no, I miss Spielberg. I met Hanks. In fact, I walked past him every day for a week before I even knew who he was.
Really?
Because he looks a lot taller in movies than he actually is.
Okay. They say that about a lot of people, don't they? And then what was Steven Spielberg like?
It was amazing to watch him work.
Really?
And see the things. I was quite lucky that I got that as my first summer job, and then I ended up actually working for the company that supplied all the land and crafts to, which got me involved with many other movies, and now I do some film and television work myself.
Oh, okay. So this kind of kicked you off at the bug, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah? It's amazing to see some of the photos from 30 years ago from Curraghlow. Like the beach scene in Saving Private Ryan, even when you look at the photos of all the ships, like all the vehicles, it's just phenomenal to think that is our very dooney, beautiful beach in South Wexford.
It is. I remember, obviously, a lot of those, all the ships and stuff like that, a lot of those were put in afterwards.
Yes, of course.
We had 12 landing crafts off the top of my head. But they did a very clever, it was one of the first movie tricks I noticed, was they would film the landing crafts from one side and you would see the numbers on the side of the boat, and then they'd film from the other side and there'd be different numbers painted on that side of the boat.
Okay.
They look like more. But I remember standing on the beach, and I was 15 years of age, and I was petrified, and I was thinking to myself, my God, what did the people who actually went through this in real life do? I know stopping in 2-3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is crazy to think about that.
It was amazing to witness it, and even looking back on some of the photographs now ourselves as we start our plans.
So it was filmed primarily in 1997, but it was released in 1998. So it's the 97th anniversary that ye are going to celebrate.
Yeah. So we're trying to celebrate the actual making of the movie.
Okay.
In the southeast, like it wasn't. It was in County Wexford, the main part of it was in Curraghcloe, obviously, but there was other locations used around the county as well. To mark, and like the reason we picked the 30th anniversary of the making of it is we aim to invite all the cast back.
Okay.
To join us, and we would obviously stand a better chance of doing it as part of the 30th anniversary of the making rather than the release, because they would have a lot of plans themselves for the release.
Of course. And also, if memory serves me right, the filming was in the summertime, wasn't it? So you've better weather and stuff too.
Yeah. So like at the moment, our plan is to actually do the main... We are looking at holding a big screening of the movie again, special 30th anniversary screening, and that as our main event with the cast there. And if we can time it all right, we actually hope to go out on the exact same day that we started filming.
Brilliant.
We want the invitations to these actors to be from the people of Wexford, so the county council are inviting them on behalf of the people of Wexford. Great. For us.
And how are you feeling about it? Have you got a good feeling about it?
We've a good feeling for some of the cast.
Okay.
Spielberg is very busy, and he has another movie coming out, and we notice this ourselves as well, that in 2027 is the 50th anniversary of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So.
Okay.
But I mean, we'll never say no. Tom Hanks really likes Ireland. He loves coming over here. He was here 2 years ago for a book festival in Dublin. Matt Damon got stuck here during COVID, and he fell in love with Ireland.
Yeah, he was pictured with a plastic bag going swimming.
Yeah, and he actually wanted to move his family here, so we've got high hopes with that. And then some of the other cast, we're kind of looking around. We're quietly confident.
Okay, I'm looking forward to hearing this. You might get a little Vin Diesel in there too. He was in Saving Private Ryan as well. Unless he probably wasn't in Curraghcloe at the time.
No, he was.
Oh, yes, was he?
He was in Curraghcloe. Yes.
I'd go to a screening that had Vin Diesel in it, I have to say, John Michael.
Well, hopefully he will be here. As we said, it's an open invitation to all the cast.
Brilliant.
And one of the things we want to do as a very small committee is we want to bring back this thing of Irish hospitality, because a lot of these people came over here long before social media took off, and they loved the fact that when they came to Ireland, they could walk down the street.
Yes.
And enjoy themselves. So our invitation goes out to them is to kind of say, well, come back, enjoy that hospitality, and come back, enjoy the county. We just ask you to come to this screening and a few of the other activities that we are currently trying to plan.
Okay, sounds great. Is there anything that we as Joe Soaps can do to help?
At the moment, no, there's nothing at the moment. As I said, we're in the very early stages. A lot of people will say you're a year and a half out, but obviously a lot of these actors, they can have the next 3 or 4 years of their lives planned out for them. So we're planning it. And the main thing is Real Reviews and the Retro Movie Club, that is kind of the driving force behind these. We're on Facebook there. Join us. Find us on Facebook, Wexford Retro Movie Club, or Real Reviews. We'll keep you updated. And then our plan is for the actual screening. We've got two plans, the screening of the movie, and then our other plan was that we would hold a concert of the soundtrack.
Oh, gorgeous.
Which is an absolute amazing track by John Williams. But we spoke to our very talented local musician, composer, who has issued himself the challenge of, why don't we play the soundtrack live?
Oh, amazing. I've been to things like that, and that is phenomenal. And then show the movie at the same time.
Yeah.
Brilliant idea. You're giving away all your secrets this morning.
We're working out the logistics to see what it is. When it comes to looking for the public, we'll obviously be looking to see if we can get a couple of sponsors in just to help us. But because we're doing all this just because we love movies and we want to mark this occasion.
Brilliant. John Michael, best of luck with everything. I'm sure I'm going to be talking to you over the next year and a half or so anyway, as we get closer and closer to that Saving Private Ryan anniversary. That is John Michael Murphy from Real Reviews. And thanks a million for joining me this morning.
Problem. We'll talk to you again.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It's the Sunday Grill here on Beat, and here's a nice one for you if you're like me and you're expecting an influx of toys from Santa to a house already full of toys. Enable Ireland charity shops are urging the public to donate pre-loved or like new toys to support vital disability services ahead of Christmas. Deborah O'Donnell is the regional leader of the Eastern area at Enable Ireland, and she joins me this morning, and we're talking about Carlo and Waterford's Enable Ireland's today, aren't we, Deborah? That's where you can donate the toys.
You can, and you can also donate to our Bray shop as well.
Oh, brilliant. Yes, so if you're in North Wexford and you want to head there, you can do that. Okay, tell us about that. Have you done this before?
We have done it before. We've done it in a selected few shops nearly every year now. So we've just extended it. So Bray has always done a toy appeal every year. Carlo is one of our new shops. We only opened that up a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And Waterford. So if you have any unwanted toys, if you want to find your forgotten toys, a home in time for Christmas.
Okay. And what has it been like in Bray when you've done it before? Has there been a big influx of toys coming into you?
We have, and we always do a toy window as well. One of our windows is completely just for toys every single year, and it gets a great response.
And are you getting like popular toys from the year before? Is it a bit of everything? What kind of way does it work?
We get a bit of everything, Orla. We get toys that children no longer play with. So we get Lego, we get dolls, sometimes we get prams, blocks, games, anything you can think of, we get them.
Okay. Now, how would you like these to come into you? What would you like people to do before they come with the toys to Carlo or to Waterford?
Once the toy is in good condition, mm-hmm, and it can be used again, like it can still be played with, that it's not broken in any way, it's clean, and there's no sharp bits or anything sticking out in them. Once it's resellable,
okay,
that's what we would be looking for.
And you don't want it cleaned or anything, or what would you like it to be like?
Well, reasonably clean, because we would give them a clean anyway before we put them out onto the floor for hygiene reasons. We always do that. We do that with our clothes as well. We steam them before they go on the floor. But once they're reasonably clean, we can tidy them up anyway when we get them in store. That's no problem.
And will you take any toys, or from a certain year up, what will you take?
We take any toys at all, Orla. The only things we don't really take is if they're electrical toys and they're broken or anything like that, you can't reuse them. That's the only ones we wouldn't take.
A great idea. I know I come from a house that is full of toys that could go there. The problem is trying to get the toys there, Deborah. You know, there might be a few objections.
I know the kids get so precious about their items and they don't want to give them away. But maybe if you explain, there's some children out there that are in need of toys that are not as lucky as they are.
Exactly.
And they'll go to a good home. That's what I always say.
And then 100% of the money raised from these toys goes to Enable Ireland's disability services. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, 100% of all the shop's profits, whether it be from toys, clothing, furniture, anything we raise in our commercial side, in our retail shops, all the profit goes to services, and it's well deserved.
Great stuff. Great to hear. Well, you can get more details on the social media for Enable Ireland. If you check their Facebook, it's Action Disability, but they're also on enableireland.ie. But it's fairly simple. If you have a toy that you think you can sneak away in the middle of the night and bring
Absolutely,
to Enable
yeah.
Ireland, and it's a toy that no one will go looking for because that would be a very sad moment. There are particular stores. It's not in all the stores, so just do bear that in mind. It's Carlo and Waterford. Is that right? In the southeast,
Carlo, Waterford, and Bray.
And Bray, if you're near Bray in County Wicklow. Brilliant stuff.
Yeah, but if you're not near any of those stores, any store would be happy to take your toy if you're not near any of those stores.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're the predominant ones that are doing the appeal.
Because I do know some charity shops, there's things they won't take anymore, isn't there? Like I know some places don't take recipe books because people don't really buy them or anything.
They do. We recipe books are very popular in our shops. We always take books.
Oh, I know where
we
I'm
do.
Going
we take
next
books.
Week then. Oh yes, and
you're having a clear out.
I will be having a clear out. And then books in general. Would you take children's books and stuff like that?
We do indeed. We take all types of books. The only books that we don't take are school books.
Oh, okay. Good stuff. Good to know. All right. Well,
we tend not to take them, but any other book we take, yeah,
Brilliant.
That's no problem.
And you know what? A great little shop as well. I've done a bit of shopping in Enable Ireland. Is there a Gory store of Enable Ireland?
Yes, there is too. Yes,
yeah. I have been in that one and I've bought myself some lovely stuff. You've got some real, like some lovely clothes going in there as well and other stuff too. And all going to a great cause. As you said, 100% of the funds raised going to Enable Ireland and their disability services. Deborah, thanks so much for joining
Indeed.
Me. I'm scared to say Happy Christmas. We're not at that stage yet, even though we're talking about pre-loved toys for Christmas. But hopefully those toys come into you this week and next week so that you can start putting them in your window for Christmas time.
They will indeed. It's always very popular. And thanks very much for having me on.
Brilliant, Deborah. That is Deborah O'Donnell. She is the regional manager for the Eastern Shops of Enable Ireland. Thanks a million, Deborah.
Talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Sunday morning here on Beat. You are listening to The Sunday Grill. It's movie time. Let me get this incredibly simple but hard to remember movie title off my chest. Now You See Me, Now You Don't, Number 3. It has elements of Keith Barry in it. There's a heist.
When I saw this movie, all I thought was Keith Barry.
Did you?
No.
Oh. We had T.Y.'s in during the week who said they fell asleep during it. But Brian
is
going...
That was a different movie they were talking about.
No, it wasn't. But
was it?
It was that movie. Yeah. Brian is here to give his own definitive review. First, though, will we listen to a clip?
No.
Let's do it.
According to that card, for some reason, I need you.
Why not the other horsemen?
The other horsemen are dead.
Oh my God, what?
No. They're like dead to me. Things got too real for them. They gave up. Stop interrupting. I'm talking about a trick that is bigger and better than anything you have ever seen. But it's now or never.
What's the trick?
The heart diamond. It's the most valuable jewel in history.
But what makes this diamond so special?
Because a magical tarot card told us.
For decades, the Vandenbergs have been selling diamonds to warlords, arms dealers, traffickers, to help launder their money.
If you want to stop the devil, don't cut off her hands. You lift her wallet.
Open sesame.
Still safe with me.
Relax. Diamonds are forever.
Stop him!
Jack, what are you doing here?
Saving your ass.
There you go. That's Now You See Me, Now You Don't. It's got quite the stellar cast in it. And I've never heard of it, even though
really?
It's the third episode.
It's a quite big movie franchise, to be fair.
Really?
Yeah.
Dave Franco is in this, I presume, James Franco's brother.
Yeah, yes.
James Franco got himself into a bit of trouble, did he? Is that why we don't see him as much anymore?
Yeah, a little bit of trouble is a crazy way of putting it, but yeah.
Oh.
I would say cancelled indefinitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isla Fisher, Daniel Radcliffe.
Nope.
Was in one of them, actually.
He was,
Brian.
Yeah.
And Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, you're crazy. Like Jesse Eisenberg and
Jesse
Woody Harrelson.
Eisenberg, yes, and
like
Woody Harrelson.
Two of the main people as well.
Okay, tell us about. And where does Keith Barry would come in?
There's magic in it.
And he helped them out.
Did he?
Yeah, in Number 2. He did.
There you go.
There you go. He gave them some tips and tricks, being an illusionist himself, which
okay.
I presume this is what this movie is about. Off you go.
Okay, so as you remember, Orly, in the other two movies, they're The Four Horsemen, are comprised of Jesse Eisenberg,
oh, okay.
Woody Harrelson, Dave Franco, and Isla Fisher. But in the second movie, Isla Fisher was replaced because in a stunt in the first movie, she nearly died.
Okay.
And so she was replaced.
So she didn't want to be in?
She refused to be in it because she nearly died.
Okay.
In one of the stunts. Yeah, wow. She nearly drowned, which was the situation.
Wow, and scary stuff.
And the scene where she nearly drowned is in the movie because it's so convincing. Wow. But it's also because she was panicking. But she did escape in time. But
okay.
Yeah, stressful. Okay.
But, so she is replaced by anyone?
So it was... she was replaced in the second one.
Okay.
By a lady's name who I can't remember.
Okay, that's okay.
But we don't worry about that because the Four Horsemen aren't the main characters in this one.
Okay.
So essentially there's a new trio of magicians. It starts off with this new trio played by Ariana Greenblatt, Dominic Sessa and Justice Smith.
Right.
Do you recognise any of those names?
No.
You should though.
Why?
Because you've seen movies with all of them in it before.
Okay.
So Justice Smith is in Detective Pikachu. He's actually in a lot of things.
Yeah, but like obviously just his voice, yeah?
No, he was the only like human in it.
Okay.
Dominic Sessa was in The Holdovers.
Okay.
He got nominated for an Oscar, I think.
I love how you assume I've seen these movies.
We discussed them.
Do you actually know
me? We reviewed all of them.
Okay.
And Ariana Greenblatt, now she's up and coming. She was in the Barbie movie. She was.
Okay, yeah, I see her face
here. She was the daughter.
Yeah, America Ferrera.
Yes.
Yes, I remember her in that.
So you do, like they're up and coming actors, okay. All very good.
And
like,
they're the new horsemen.
So they hold this show, and from that show, it's revealed that a lot of this movie, everything you say is a spoiler because everything is so meticulous and everything is twists and turns all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And that makes it quite fun.
Okay.
Now, some people I've heard find that kind of boring and fall asleep, but that wouldn't be me. I actually found it quite entertaining. And every time you think that you're figured it out and you're too smart for it, it will pull something and be like, yeah, no. So this has been right in front of you the whole time.
Even in the trailer, a lot is given away. So we can probably talk about it. The fact that there is a huge diamond and they use...
Whoa, no, don't tell people that there's a huge diamond. There's
an illusion within this,
yes.
With Rosamund Pike involved.
Yeah, Rosamund Pike's in as well.
And look, I did watch it thinking, wow, I really want to see this. This looks like really good fun.
It is because they do the magic and then they show you how the trick is done.
And the magic
which
is
actually quite fun.
Yes.
Because how the trick is done is like makes you feel stupid because you kind of fall for it the same way that
because
everyone else
does. Because it's not like CGI or any film effects. It is just a trick.
I imagine there's some CGI mixed
in there.
Yeah,
I know, but you know what I mean? It is a trick that maybe we could carry
out. It is. We could absolutely do all of these things. Easily, actually. I think it's very easily. We could do all these things.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it is like the way it's done is crafted well. It's a crafted, like it's a fun movie. And once it gets to the end, you're like, that was a fun time.
And had you seen the other two?
Yes.
Okay. And did you enjoy them as much?
No, they were fun movies. Like there's stunts in them and you see clips from a lot online, especially like there's one scene from the second one, I think, where they're in like a vault and they have like a card and they're throwing it around. And it's cool. It's like magic is cool for a time.
For a time.
Yeah.
Who are the standouts in this, Brian?
Honestly, every single person in it is great.
Okay.
I will say that. Like,
what does Woody Harrelson do in it, for example?
He's one of the four horsemen.
Okay, so
he's one of the horsemen.
He comes back as the original horseman.
Yeah, okay. So they all kind of come back into it.
All right.
So like they kind of, do you know sometimes with these franchises, they're like, oh yeah, for the last 10 years, we've all been friends and now we're going to do something else. It's like, no, they all fell out and this brought them back together kind of a thing. So it is fun. Like, because I didn't see the trailer before I saw it. I only saw the poster as I was walking past. So I didn't know if everyone was going to be in it. So it is quite fun when people just kind of appear in it. So if you've watched the other ones and you've enjoyed the other ones and there's people you like from the other ones, they may or may not be back, yeah.
And there is something really annoying about enjoying a series or a franchise and coming back to your characters and there's been some flimsy reason why they're not in it anymore because they become massive stars themselves and don't want to be in this anymore.
Yeah, but this franchise in particular is very focused on getting really good actors and giving them a really fun role. Like, they're all good characters. And then, like, they're just surrounded by a good story. It's like... If you want a good acting job, I think this is actually one of them because you have to act, I suppose, a bit with the illusions and stuff.
Yes,
you have
with
to
the magic.
like entertain the audience in a way in both the film and then like as an actor. Like, so it is, I actually think it's a quite fun franchise.
And everything wrapped up, or are we waiting for a four?
I think the fourth one has started development.
Wow, okay. Yeah. And does it leave you waiting for a four, or does it wrap up the storyline?
It wraps up the story. Like, okay. Each movie, to be fair, always wrapped up the storyline.
Like,
but it's more so like, this is doing well, let's make another one, but only if it's good enough kind of vibes, okay. Rather than let's horse out 16 of them kind of vibe.
Oh, horse. Yeah. How ironic. Yeah. The horsemen. Let's black pudding it, please.
I would give it like... I would say like an 8 out of 10. That's a fun movie.
Yeah.
It's an entertaining movie. Do you know, mm-hmm. It's a popcorn movie.
Okay. 8 yeah. Black Puddings out of 10 for Now You See Me, Now You Don't 3. It has a stellar cast, so many recognisable faces, and as Brian said, up and coming faces that you might have seen in one or two movies before. He's off on his travels next week. Quite exotic travels
next
as well.
Next 2 weeks as well.
Oh. 2 weeks. Yeah. Okay. So enjoy.
I will do.
Very exotic. He'll be telling us all about it when he comes back. It'll be even better than
if
the
I make
time
it back.
He went to the Venice Film Festival
twice. Let's went to that twice, actually, Orla.
Did you?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, 8 black puddings out of 10 for Now You See Me, Now You Don't 3. That is Brian's final movie review for 2 weeks. He'll be back then.
Maybe.
Enjoy. You better be. Goodbye.
Bye. The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.